Blog Talk Radio.
This is your host, Carlos Sardinas, and I'm joined with my co-host, CJ, the painkiller, DeSimone. How are you doing today, brother?
Doing all right. Looking forward to New York Jets versus Tennessee Titans, and chock full of a little bit of piss and vinegar this morning.
Why is that, CJ?
Well, you know, it just is... There's no secret that, you know, we've been upset with you know, the lack of people that have been tuning in. It's just it's unfortunate, you know. We got good quality podcast here, not enough listens. It's just not conducive to making for a great Sunday afternoon. Come on now, guys. This is the show you should be turning into when you're pre-gaming, all right? Enough of this bullshit.
Even if you are drunk, we don't mind the fact that you're loaded and listening. In fact, I'd prefer that you be loaded and listen, because the show would probably be better to you if you are drunk. Just saying.
Exactly.
You know, you're shotgunning beers outside of the stadium over there. I know there's a few of you out there. You know?
Pop, so come on, man. We live in a digital age, man. You got Bluetooth speakers out the ass, right? You got cars that have the ability to play, you know, Pandora and Sirius XM radio. Come on now, man. If you're tailgating over at stadium, our ass should be in your car or on your phone or in your Bluetooth, listening to some kick-ass New York Jets analysis just before kickoff today. No excuses.
Yeah. Well, so, all right, so before we get into the games, I guess, you know, I didn't really see a, like, really horrifically stupid post or tweet this week. I actively really wasn't looking either, to be perfectly honest. So I'm going to nominate myself for one. And that's really the tweet you were alluding to earlier, where I was just saying, hey, come on, thanks for listening. Not really. So I'm nominating myself for the dumbest tweet of the week.
No, I don't think that that's the dumbest tweet of the week. I think that that's actually one of the smartest tweets of the week, believe it or not. Because, like, dude, this is like one of the best Jets podcasts out there that no one is listening to, and I really want to know why. I really do. You know, because I think that we do a kick-ass show here. You know, I think that we got some pretty good analysis, you know, two diehard Jet fans. You know, we may not get player interviews, and we may not get this, and we may not get that, but you want to know something? We're two guys who tell it like it is, and sometimes we say the things that nobody else has the balls to say. And, you know, like I said, just I'm a little bit annoyed that our, you know, the message is still not getting out there more than 2+ years into this.
Yeah, absolutely. So on a completely different note, before we get into any of the Jet stuff, I, for the first time ever, and that's, I mean, I've been in this house for 8 years, first time ever, put up the Christmas lights this year, yesterday. I know, I'm 2 weeks behind, but hey, it's better than nothing, because I haven't done jack diddly-poo for 8 years since I've been living here. First time we got some lights going, and they blink too. They're not green and white, though. Just regular white.
Nice.
But hey, all right, enough fluff, all right. let's actually talk about this freaking game. There's a few things I wanted to hit on with this game. One, I'm sick of hearing two narratives. One is the whole this is a trap game narrative. This is not a trap game for the coaching staff. This is not a trap game for the players. It's only a trap game in the minds of those fools that are out in the media and in the stands that believe it's a trap game. The only time it ever becomes a trap game is afterwards. You play the result. If you lose this game, then it was a trap game. If you win it, it was just a win over a better team. I'm so sick of that narrative. It's not a trap game, period. It is a game the Jets will be prepared for. It's a game the Jets better win. There's no excuse for losing to a 3-win team at home this late in the season. But it is not a trap game. I'm sorry.
Well, I have to say one thing, you know. The Jets going up against Tennessee poses a very, very interesting narrative at this point. And, you know, with the hopefully the Jets do not play down to their level of competition, because this is something that the Jets have done in the past. And that's where I guess the whole trap game narrative play, because a lot of people say, oh, well, you know, this is a 3-9 team, and the Jets should easily be able to walk into MetLife, cruise to a victory. And that's not necessarily the case, because we've seen – you know, I mean, hell, look, we saw evidence of it in this very stadium just a few weeks back versus an out shit show of a Jacksonville Jaguar team that came in and essentially, instead of the Jets beating by 40 points, the Jets narrowly escaped with a win. And Jacksonville almost came back to send that game into overtime. All right, so now, you know, how much of that is the Jets just kind of rolling over and playing prevent defense, or how much of that is that Jackson actually becoming an improved team, remains to be seen. But nevertheless, this is a team on paper that you should absolutely decimate, and you should absolutely kick their teeth in. And Tennessee Titan game coming up right now actually has the same feel. You know, this is a game where, okay, fine, you got Marcus Mariota. He's got a couple weapons over there. You know, Tennessee has looked really good at this time. You know, this offense can put points on the board in bunches, but they just don't have the record to show it. But you know what? They've also gotten their asses handed to them by a few good teams that they've played. And they haven't showed the ability to come from behind against teams with a lesser record than they have. So this is going to be an interesting matchup. Can the Jets just come out and set the tone early and essentially just break the will, you know, before it even started? I mean, this is where I know that you've heard me repeat this and regurgitate this over and over and over again, week after week after week. But this is where the kill shot before halftime can really, really do some good.
Okay.
You know,
CJ,
if you get
you
up
have,
on it.
We have someone calling in, so I wanted to bring him on.
Absolutely.
We can't screen him, so hopefully not a raving lunatic. Let's see here. Hello, welcome to CNC Football Factory. I hope you are not a raving lunatic.
No, I'm not. Hey, it's Artif.
Hey, how's it going?
Why don't you introduce
Artif
to the audience? Yeah, why don't you introduce Artif to the audience, give some background on why she's calling us. And I think she's been mentioned the last three shows, so now she actually could be listened to by all.
Right, excellent. This is the biggest thing here that I want to talk about. And actually, believe it or not, I actually have somebody else on hold who would like to chime in. But I want to call her over there that you're on hold. Don't worry to you. First things first, a little bit of background on her. She is both a New York Jets fan and a Pitt Steelers fan. Due to one person and one person only, she also has some interesting history to share to us on Emerson Boozer. Okay, and there's also, I mentioned one of your favorite players, but I screwed up his last name, so I'm going to leave that to you to kind of correct me to our live studio audience here.
Rocky Turner.
Yes, and he wore number 29 and was drafted out of Chattanooga, is that correct?
Tennessee, Chattanooga.
Okay,
yeah,
Tennessee,
10th
Chattanooga.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
10th round.
So, now, tell us a lot about – tell us what you know about the Jets. I know you've gotten to see the Jets play in an era where they were incredibly successful. You got to see the AFL-NFL merger. You've gotten to see a lot of things, you know, watching football where, you know, we've only had the ability to read about it and to read it in the papers and to read the history books, so to speak, but you actually got to live it.
tell me exactly what that was like.
Well, I started watching the Jets back in the 60s when I moved from New England, Connecticut, down to Georgia, which was quite a culture shock. And I started watching football when I went to high school, you know, to school, when schools were segregated and they were just beginning to be integrated. And Emerson was drafted sixth round to the Jets in the AFL, seventh round to the Steelers in the, you know, and in the NFL. He had gone to Lucy Laney, and that's why I began to, you know, he was a hometown boy, and I got interested in the Jets because he was a hometown boy. But going to school and talking about Emerson Boozer, people would look at me and like, you know, well, he went to Laney. But I was from New England, and it didn't matter to me. But it was still kind of a culture shock there that, you know, I followed Boozer, and most of my friends didn't because he was from Laney. So it was kind of a little bit of a culture shock there that, you know, you didn't follow somebody because they went to Laney. My senior year was where it was integrated. The schools were integrated, and so it was, you know, that's when it began to change and stuff. And I watched football. I was Daddy's girl, so I sat there on Sunday and watched football with Daddy. And, you know, we'd scream and yell. And you said I wasn't a lunatic. Well, you haven't seen me watching football, so I do scream and yell. probably
nice.
Louder than most of the people around here.
Nice. Absolutely.
But yeah, it was a different era. I still like the old teams. You know, I will still watch the old teams just to watch a good game, you know, or something, you know. But it was different. It was very different. You know, you see a lot of things changing over the years, and it was a whole different thing then.
Nice. How do you think when you watch the game today compared to the game that you grew up with? Tell me what you think the changes are.
I look back and see like players like Mean Joe Green.
Okay.
I don't think players, maybe they are, but I just don't think they're as tough. I don't know. I just don't think so.
Carlos, what do you
think
about
that? Absolutely a fact. Yeah, I absolutely think that's true. I mean, the game's different. You can't pull what a lot of those guys did. I mean, look at like what Deacon Jones used to do to quarterbacks. You can't do that anymore. You can't. You can't do a lot of that. So I wanted to get your thoughts a little bit because we have a shorter show. I wanted to talk a little bit about this upcoming game with the Titans. And actually, I wanted to get your thoughts on, you know, what – you would expect to transpire with the Jets and Titans today. Were you expecting a victory, expecting a close game, blowout, you know?
I always say the Jets. I'm not ever going to say no, they're not. I just always say the Jets. I teased CJ the other day about that, you know, when he said 2 weeks ago when he said no, they weren't. I'm always going to say the Jets. They're my team. I'm not ever going
to
say no, they're not.
I had to eat a massive amount of crow because I picked the Jets to lose against the Dolphins. Yes, I understand.
Yeah, that was
I'm
that was,
always
that was
going to say the Jets. Yeah, I'm just always going to say that.
I'm wearing my Jets shirt.
I'm wearing my Jets shirt. And I'm
all
always going to say the Jets.
Excellent. So a couple things I want to touch on with this game here. And then we actually have another caller I want to bring on in just in about a minute. So not going to run you off. We'll have kind of a round-robin thing going. Really, on the Jets, inactives, there's only one major inactive. That's Marcus Williams, but Darrell Revis is back. So, and on the Titans side, Kendall Wright is out, which is probably the biggest injury on their end. So you'd expect to see Revis back now from the concussion. He's going to be covering Doriel Green-Beckham. And really what I worry about with this game is Delanie Walker and how the Jets could be susceptible over the middle, although tight ends have not done well against the Jets. It's really because we have played trashy tight ends more than anything else. And then the speed of Mariota getting away and exposing our linebackers' lack of speed. Those are the two things I worry about. So I'm gonna go ahead and bring on our caller. I think I know who it is. But let me just make sure. All right, thanks for calling TNT Football Factory.
Rosie Greer, Big Ben Davidson, Nick Bonacano. The game was different because you were allowed to beat the hell out of each other. Remember when Marty Lyons was the first man to ever get a penalty for giving the guy the business? You guys remember
that's right.
One?
Oh, by the way, our callers,
they didn't have
our audience, I want to introduce Jimmy Boyd. He's the host of One Jet Drive on Mondays.
Everyone knows Jimmy Boyd. They could tell by that voice exactly who it is. I knew that's who it was. Thanks for joining, Jimmy. Thanks for putting our
when men
up.
Were men.
So,
didn't
Miss
play
Arden,
on artificial turf.
You better watch out. Jimmy's going to start breaking out into the Archie Bunker song here pretty soon.
Right.
All in the
they used to get blood all over them in those days, and there were no penalties until you made up all these rules to protect the passer and all that nonsense. Those quarterbacks used to take a beating.
Yeah, that's true. Back then, I mean, a 50% completion percentage was good. You know what I mean?
That was excellent.
Yeah. It's totally different. You know, and I'm not
Joe saying, Namath
there wasn't a
walking out there with bad knees.
Yeah.
Klecko had braces on his knees. I mean, it was wild back then.
So, Jimmy, I wanted to get your thoughts on what you're thinking might happen today, some of the things you'll be watching for with the Jets and Titans here in about 40 minutes away from now, 45 minutes away. Just your kind of high-level thoughts on how this game's going to go.
You know, I'm worried about, like last week I was saying that Will Tye was going to be a problem, and he did. He picked up 70 yards. But again, this week you got Delanie Walker and Doriel Beckham Green. I think we aren't always that great against explosive tight ends. We're not used to it, and we've been changing our linebacker personnel for the better. I know they've been putting in Jamari Lattimore in the dime packages on third downs and such, and it's been working. I actually like what the Jets are doing. The movement with the players has been working.
Yeah, we saw unfortunate news with Catapano, but we saw Catapano out there for a few snaps. Unfortunately, he looks like he's done. He was looking promising. You're seeing more of Maldon. You're seeing more of Riley. You're seeing more of Lattimore, which is good because we needed to shake that up, absolutely.
Well, I kind of like Riley and Lattimore in there because they're going to add a little touch of speed. I mean, let's face it, Trevor Riley, I mean, he doesn't have wheels on him, but he's a lot faster than David Harris. He's also a lot faster than DeMario Davis. So they definitely do add a speed accent to it. And Jamari Lattimore, I mean, he's another guy who just constantly plays with his hair on fire. So, and that's what the Jets need in the secondary. I mean, in the linebacking core, I'm sorry.
Well, almost a secondary because DeMario Davis has proved how much he can't cover in pass coverage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he's 5 yards off, that's already too far away.
Yeah.
The man's already going to make the play.
The good thing for us in terms of Tennessee, coming into MetLife Stadium, yes, Mariota looks good. You know, he had his nice 87-yard run, although it's really the first time you've seen him really take off like that this year last week.
Right.
But they don't have a ton of dynamic playmakers, really. They have Delanie Walker. DGB, or Doriel Green Beckham, is a raw kid who has a ton of talent, but I think Revis could pretty much handle him just by himself without any issue. And then Antonio Andrews doesn't inspire anyone out of the backfield. So he doesn't. He doesn't inspire anyone at all. He doesn't even inspire his own mother.
Yeah,
he's just so vanilla. You know, he's your perfectly average running back. Nothing I'm worried about at all.
You know, I've been down on Chan Gailey for his lack of using Jeremy Curley, which, you know, almost a sure catch there every time. But I got to give him some credit last week for being able to get away from when they're stacking eight in the box, because I don't care. Fitzpatrick may have only been, you know, sacked, 14 times or whatever, but that line is not the greatest in the world. But Gailey went around and moved things to a screen game last week to get behind the defenses, and it worked. It worked. It was nice to see. We're not known as a comeback team. I don't think we ever have been.
No, that was an amazing comeback. We were helped out by a nice little blunder on Tom Coughlin's end. But I wanted to ask you something that bothered me. I was actually at CJ's house watching it last week, the game. And the one thing I noticed from the start that aggravated the heck out of me, and I don't know how it's not a penalty, is watching Jason Pierre-Paul and his freak little hand club Gino Brocchamini in the head repeatedly. Like, that is a penalty. That has to be a penalty.
It is a penalty. And they didn't call it. They didn't call when, whatever the hell his name, Beckham Jr., took his helmet off in the end zone. They didn't call that penalty.
Right. Wait a second. That's actually a penalty because when Keyshawn Johnson first scored his first NFL touchdown, okay, when Bill Parcells was coaching the team, they did that and they implemented that rule for the excessive celebration as unsportsmanlike conduct. They started enforcing that then. How come the refs kept the flag in their pocket for that one?
Yeah,
what's
right.
the difference? There's no difference.
Know. There's no difference at all. You're exactly right. What I saw, and this is me watching from Florida, not being at the game, but the broadcast that we saw was so pro-Giants, it was disgusting. It was disgusting.
Right.
I didn't see one Jets fan until the fourth quarter in the entire broadcast. Nothing. The commentators were awful. Ian Eagle could go suck an iron, you know what. it was awful, but... that clubbing that Jason Pierre-Paul was doing with his gimpy mutant hand and that cast of his, I mean, that's got to be a player safety issue.
Yep. Artis, chime in at any time here. I don't want you
sitting
quiet on the sidelines there.
Oh, I'm just enjoying.
Not only that, it's just his hand. It's really just his hand, and he's got this thing all the way up to his elbow. That thing's a damn weapon.
Right, it was, because, I mean, you saw how many times that Bruno Giacomini got clubbed, and there was one time that he actually did that with the ref standing no less than 2 feet by him, and there was just no call whatsoever, and that's just absolutely ridiculous.
It's perfectly fine to club someone in the head when you're trying to prevent concussions. Yeah, that's with a cast. Yeah, no problem
with
that.
Why don't you just tape a baseball bat to your forearm and say, I'm bracing it.
Yeah, I can't get my grips. I'm going to whip you with this bat. Anyway, it's just something that bothered me last week. And, you know, we'd also be singing a totally different tune if the Giants kicked that field goal in the fourth quarter. The whole tenor of Jets Nation would be totally different right now. I'm glad it worked out.
Well,
the
then
way
we
would have
got
– we got lucky.
We both would have got a chance to score again.
Right,
and the
exactly.
way the chemistry is going between Decker in the slot and Marshall, I just thought we would have scored a touchdown.
Yeah, I agree.
It would have made it, what, a 10-point game as opposed to 7 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't hear anybody giving Fitzpatrick any credit. That Marshall would have never got his touchdown if Fitzpatrick on fourth down didn't decide to scramble and pick up the first down.
Oh, he did great.
That's right.
He almost threw for 400.
This man is taking the team on his back. He and Marshall want the playoffs like nobody knows.
Yeah. No, they played great. Bilal Powell played great. You know, I'm hoping to see some of that. We've got a few minutes left, so let's talk about the Titans and the Jets in terms of, again, what are you expecting to see score-wise, what the ultimate outcome would be? I'll tell you right now, I think the Jets are going to win this game, but I think it's going to be closer than people think. I think we're going to see something kind of like the Jacksonville game where we win, maybe not in the last possession, but it comes down to the fourth quarter. I'm going kind of like 27-20 or something, Jets win. It's going to be close. I've seen people calling for blowouts, so we're going to score 40 points on them. I'm not saying we can't, but let's not put the cart in front of the horse yet.
Right.
I called it a 28-17.
28-17. Jimmy's got 28-17. Ardith, what do you say?
Oh, I have no idea. I watch football totally different than you guys do.
He enjoys it. And we suffer over it. That's the difference.
Yeah.
You guys rip football apart. Me, I watch it with you guys get your asses out there, do what you're paid to do, and win. And that's what I watch football for. You take it all apart. Get out there and win. They're going to win,
okay? We break it down quite a bit here. We definitely
give us a score
down.
Prediction. What do you think?
They're going to win, okay?
Not going to put her down on one. Tell you that. Consistent.
Oh, all right.
I don't know. All right, 21-14. Okay.
Oh! Oh, okay. Yeah, we got one. I like that.
Nice.
All right, D-Day. What, are you picking the Jets to lose this? You negative now?
No.
Yes,
I will
I'm actually going to alter.
Live it down.
Yeah, I know. I'm actually going to reverse course from my normal piss and vinegar. I think that the Jets had that gritty win last week against the Giants. It showed a lot of resolve. It also showed a lot of character as to this team and what they're capable of accomplishing. And, you know, that, you know, make no mistake about it. I mean, it's not just the Giants. It was also important for the Jets to get that win. They had a lot of things break their way in the AFC playoff picture the past couple weeks. So take care of business on their end over there. They get a win against Tennessee today. They can still control their own destiny. I'm going to say 27-14 Jets.
Okay. So it's a clean sweep on the Pro Jets podcast predicting the Jets to win. That's not a surprise. But, hey, you know, I'll take it.
Exactly.
So, and a little bit of a preview for next week, just because our normal time slot's on Sunday, the Jets are actually playing Saturday night. So what I'm thinking we're going to be doing is kind of a post-mortem breakdown of the Dallas Cowboys and the Jets, as well as this game. So it's going to be action-packed, because I don't see us moving our time slot at this point in time. So we'll be talking about two games and hopefully two wins, which will be great.
Right.
I expect it to be two wins. These are the two they need, because the last two games with Buffalo and the Patriots are the man-up games. I mean,
yeah.
we've seen Bowles sit out players with their injuries, hold them out 2 weeks, which we're not used to, and we all start screaming and all that, you know. Oh, Revis is never coming back. He's a step slower, blah, blah, blah. He held them out for 17-18 days.
My favorite was Revis is faking a concussion from last week. That almost drove me off the edge.
I couldn't believe that crap.
I saw that and I was like, really? I mean, come on. Oh, I'm faking getting woozy as I see the lights. Yeah, I mean, come on, man.
Because I'm not good enough to cover Odell Beckham Jr. Like, he's
right.
Afraid of anyone.
Right, exactly.
Afraid of a concussion, that's it. You know?
Yeah.
People need to get real sometimes, man. These conspiracy theories.
I know.
You know, they rival that of, like, the aliens and JFK conspiracy theorists.
Yeah. Yeah, and Jimmy Hoffa is still buried on the 50-yard line in the Meadowlands. So.
I want to know how they moved that chunk of cement from the old stadium to the new stadium.
Yeah, I'd like to know that too. So I'm sure they
if
probably
you're
had
paying attention,
ways.
Jets fans, and you happen to know how they moved that chunk of cement, send in the answers to myself, CJ, or Jimmy Boyd. If you happen to know how they moved that chunk of cement, this is
right, exactly.
You're listening.
Apple, where are
Jimmy,
you?
We got Jimmy, we got like 2 minutes left. Give everybody your contact information and your show information before we wrap it up.
Simple Man, One Jet Drive on Blog Talk Radio. Call us on Monday night, 7 p.m. One Jet Drive
all
on
right.
Twitter, and always Jets.
Nice. All righty, gang. We're going to wrap this up for today. This has been the CNC Football Factory for Miss Ardith, Miss Jimmy, my partner
Mr.
in crime,
Jimmy.
Carlos.
It's Mr. Jimmy. Just
Carlos,
so you know,
the Hitman Sardinas, and
look,
myself, DJ DeSimone.
There's something you know I don't know?
Always. A lot. All right. This has been the CNC Football Factory. We'll catch you guys next week. Thanks again for tuning in.